I have a question for you today. I'm going to rephrase this a couple of times because I know it's a little bit of a weird question, but this is church and sometimes we do slightly weird things. So bear with me. I want you to think back over your life and try to pick out some of those moments when you knew what you were doing was exactly right. Those moments when the world made perfect sense, when even if what you were doing was big and huge or new and scary, you knew you were in the right moment and you could do this. Does anyone want to share?
Don Jagerbomber and I went to the church that's called Stone of My Group. And we went to listen to the youth lady there. And she was telling us, you know, what we might be looking for in our parish. And I listened. Items that I felt were necessary for us to lead an interview. And after I came outside, I turned to Dawn and said, "It's me." So that was my rubber mallet in the spirit.
Yep. Realizing you're supposed to lead youth ministry, which is certainly huge and daunting. I have a friend who's a painter, and she would identify painting as one of those moments. They don't all have to be church connected. Yikes. Yep. Giving a big speech. So I could think of, I'll share two of the ones I could think of. One is probably the more stereotypically churchy one. I was 15. And I had decided that my church needed a high school youth group because we did not really have one. But there was a program, a provincial level youth leadership program that was sort of designed to help youth become leaders, and starting a youth group was one of the things that several people had done who had gone there. So I went. I was painfully shy when I was in high school. You can't tell it now, but getting up and speaking in front of people, I used to turn bright red and start shaking. So I was really not sure how this was going to go. And then one night there was a woman speaking, and she was a priest, and I found out in the course of the evening that she was from my home diocese. She was talking about vocation, which is sort of the churchy word for what we're talking about a little bit. You're in the right spot to do the things for which God has gifted you to do. And as she was telling her story of how she realized she was supposed to be a priest, I had this moment where I knew that was what I was supposed to do too. And I immediately followed that moment with a list of all of the reasons that was a bad idea. I was wrong, God was right. The other moment that came to my mind this week as I was thinking about this was far more recent, about 6 years ago now. I had just started working for the church, and I could tell that I could easily spend all of my time working, and that was a bad idea, I knew. So I decided to adopt a dog. Now, I had my list of what I thought the right dog would be, sort of medium-sized, black, because I wear a lot of black, so that way the fur would just blend in. Maybe 1 or 2 years old, just old enough to be out of sort of the puppy stages, and female. And I had drawn up a list, and there were a couple of good candidates at the pound, so I rounded up the roommate I had at the time and sort of made the circuit of the dogs who were there. And just because it sounded really cute, I stopped at this kennel with a dog who met none of my criteria. 8 months old, male, large, not black. And I looked in, and there was this giant puppy dog sitting there chewing on a toy. And he looked at me, and that's my dog, Grizz, now. This morning in our Old Testament, we had the call of Jeremiah. So I wanted to invite us to reflect on a little bit some of those call stories in our own lives. And they can be really big things, or for some people, they're really small moments. And sometimes it's just like half a second when you know that your life is exactly what it should be in this moment. Thank you. Our gospel story this morning starts a really, really long time ago. It doesn't really start with Jesus. It starts way back, tradition goes, about 2 millennia. Science and scholarship tell us that these stories were written down about 1 millennia ago with Moses bringing the tablets down from the mountaintop with God, with the laws written on them. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Probably sounds familiar to most of us. To some of us, it maybe makes us feel a little guilty knowing our to-do list this afternoon, which is really just in keeping with what the people of God have been doing for, you know, 1 or 2 millennia now. God rolled out this great idea that we'd have a day of rest to remember our relationship with God, and we have spent all of that time trying to figure out what that means. We have asked how far we can walk, what kind of things constitute work that we should not do, if it's cooking or helping people in pain, helping women in labor, how far, how much we can carry. 2 millennia sorting out these sorts of issues. The answers, by the way, were about 500 yards. We could walk about 500 yards before it was considered work. That you could cook food, but you could not prepare food. Likewise with animals, you could feed them, but you couldn't do the work of getting ready to feed them, so that all had to be set up beforehand. People who were in sort of chronic, lingering pain, well, they were always in that state. But a woman in labor, all of the rules sort of fell apart for that. The midwife could travel as far as was needed. You could do whatever was needed. They got very complex as we tried to understand what this day meant. If you go to cities, even today, with huge Jewish populations, on Saturday, their Sabbath, there's an elevator that stops at every floor, up and then down, so that they can go and visit the sick without doing the work of pressing a button to get to the right floor. But at the same time, I regularly hear people talk sort of proudly, sort of bragging about how many hours they worked that week. The 40-hour work week is quickly crumbling away in the face of people who've proudly worked 50 and 60 and 80 hours. We're still sort of trying to fight this one out. But somewhere between us and the ancient Hebrews who wondered how far you could walk, we had Jesus, who is teaching in the synagogue. He is with the gathered people of God. And this woman comes up And we don't know if she says anything, we don't know if she asks for this, but we know that Jesus responds to her. He looks at her and he says, "Your sins have been forgiven." And this is one of those points where the English translation isn't great. We hear she stands up immediately. But the Greek is a little more subtle. It says immediately she is straightened up. There's this implication that God is the one who is straightening her up. As her sins are forgiven and her illness and her pain are taken away. It's a nice story, isn't it? It's almost nice enough that we forget that this woman immediately becomes incidental in her own story. She has no name. She's given no dialogue. The entire story actually is about Jesus and the religious leaders, the important men, because they were all men back then, who take umbrage with the fact that something that could be called work happened on the Sabbath. The Sabbath, we've spent so much time trying to figure out what we can and can't do on it. Something else gets lost in this. Did you notice? We sort of glance right over what it is Jesus is teaching that day. I spend a good chunk of my week wondering what that was. We don't know that answer. We sort of have to guess at what it might be. And based on my reading of the rest of the Gospels, my understanding of most of what Jesus tries to tell us about, it was probably something about loving God and loving our neighbors. He likes those two big ideas. Which makes me wonder about all of these rules we construct about what we can and can't do. Whether it's on the Sabbath or through the week. Now don't get me wrong, I like knowing what I should and shouldn't do. It's helpful. It solves a lot of problems. Most of the time. Some of the time it can get a little tricky. Like the question of how far you can travel on the Sabbath. 500 yards. Unless you're a midwife who needs to travel further. Somehow we've always understood that our rules aren't perfect. That there are exceptions. There are times when there's a higher thing, something more important than the things we have set up. Jesus understood that in this story. He knew that the Sabbath was made for people, not vice versa. That this day, this time apart, was supposed to draw us closer to God, not keep us locked in the bondage of pain and suffering. Which has led me to wonder how well we actually do at that today. We have people who proudly work 70 and 80 hour work weeks, which I can't imagine leaves much time for Sabbath. We have people who are still upset that stores are open on Sundays because now people can go shopping, and surely that is inappropriate. As a side note, I do my shopping on Sunday, but it's kind of a work day for me, so I'm grateful for that. What would our lives look like if we sat down and tried to write out what Sabbath looks like for us? Tried to carve that time back into our lives where the most important thing isn't deadlines or timesheets, where maybe it's family dinners, or lingering over tea or coffee with a friend, or just sitting and enjoying the silence, where it's not about email or phone calls or texting. And I have to wonder what our churches would look like if we made that our priority as well. If coming to church didn't mean you had to do 5 extra things today. If coming to church wasn't something you had to do, but the place you went to celebrate the joys and the sorrows of your week. Where it wasn't about what committees you are or aren't on, but about the conversations that we'll have over coffee and snacks later. The conversation we'll have in the middle of the service with the God who made us and who asked that we set aside time in our weeks to be joyful instead of busy. I think we'd look a little bit different. I think things would get done more slowly, more mistakes might happen. I think if we really leaned into this, church would look like something it really hasn't looked like in Canada before. And I can't help but think that maybe church would look just a little bit more like the kingdom of God, where it is more important to be joyful and loved than it is to be busy and worried about rules. Amen.